I would like to read to you this morning The Secrets of Your Life. This was an article that was written by Swami Ramdas. When you chant the beloved's name, your mind gets enchanted by its sweet music and will take up the refrain. The mind is now inebriated with a strange and rare joy. Whenever it wanders, by the repeated infusion of this joy, it becomes immediately steady and placid. It is the waves of lower desires arising in it that cause this disturbance. When the mind is thus perfectly still through the power of the name, you attain to a state of self-awareness or witness consciousness. In a subtle way, you are made to transcend the relative nature of your life with which you had identified yourself through ignorance and come to realize that you are not, that you are one with a vast, illimitable, and eternal truth or life. At first, there is a struggle for achieving the awareness, but by constant practice, you are fixed in this supreme consciousness and live and act always in a beatific state. Now the light of the inner witness floods every part of your emotional, vital, and physical being, and a marvelous transformation takes place in you. Life is divinized not only in its inner aspect, but also in all its outer expressions. Man's fall from the height of his spiritual glory is due to his being involved in the external, changing, and unstable life. Detachment, or standing apart from it, is the first thing necessary to be free from the illusions sprung from it. The practice of keeping over the mind is a most pleasant one. This can be made easily possible when the mind is tuned to the melody of the divine name. It is then not merely a negative inner detachment, but a positive experience of supreme bliss and peace. All the latent powers of the divine are at this stage revealed, and you become an all-round manifestation of the divine. You realize that the witness and the witnessed are one. You and God are one. The screen that separated you from him has dissolved, and you look upon all things with an eye of unity, because you behold everywhere the forms of your one eternal beloved. The sublime goal is reached by first stilling the mind, which is done by chanting the name. Your ego disappears. Your hankering for the objects of desire cease. Your sense of bondage is removed, and you swim in an infinite ocean of joy and peace, having realized utter freedom. So remember God, meditate on him, surrender your life to him, and achieve the summum bonum of your life, namely the secret of your life, God. I've chosen for the subject of my sermon this morning, the mystery of life. I want to read to you from St. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Many, many years ago, there was a tremendous song that was written, and it was entitled Sweet Mystery of Life. And it was so beautiful because at the very end of it, it said, ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I have found you, and I know that it is love alone which rules the world. And so this mystery of life that I want to speak to you this morning about is love. First, above all, is your love for God. Because God's love for you is constantly pouring to you. There is never a moment in your life when the love of God is not shining upon you, pouring to you, trying to get in to the openings which you keep so tightly closed. It is an amazing thing how tightly we keep our doors and our windows closed because we are so engrossed with the things of the senses. And yet we cry out to Him. We cry out for His great love. We cry out to Him for healing. We cry out to Him for sustenance in time of need. We cry out to Him for everything in this world whenever we are in trouble. And yet how greatly we neglect Him, the giver of love, of all of life. Do we not realize that without the love of God, we would not be able to love anyone because it is from this great heart of God that this whole creation was born. That nothing was made in this world, but that it had its basis in love. That you could not have a father, a mother, a sweetheart, a husband, a wife, children, or a friend, if it were not for the love of God. This love goes forth from your heart in a human sense. But usually, in today's world, when we say we love not the other individual, but we love ourselves. It is self-love. And we love others for what they can do for us, how they can make us feel comfortable. If they think, say, and do that which we think they should think, say, and do in order to make us feel calm and peaceful and happy inside, then we love them. But just let something happen where somebody says something cross to you. Somebody hurts your little ego, which is so easily wounded, and immediately they are your enemy. Yet many times these people are your greatest friends because they make you see yourself as you really are. They dig down deep. I'll tell you one thing now. Nobody takes anyone to God using a big stick. No. This is particularly true of the spiritual teacher. Now, all are God's children. Every man, woman, and child in this universe and beyond. We are all part and parcel of God, the separate cells of His one body. But nevertheless, when the spiritual teacher comes, then the change starts to take place in the individual. And there must be a sense of goodness. There must be a sense of kindness. There must be a sense of courtesy. Love contains so many things. But above all, she contains humility. Because anybody who fancies himself as the head of something or as doing something to help someone else to God is working under pure delusion. Because we are all God. Some of us are ministers of God. But they are all His children. And without the power of God, without the Word of God, without the thoughts that are placed in our consciousness by God, we couldn't even lift a finger. We couldn't even fly like a mosquito or a fly. Even so, we can't do that in the outer sense. But we can soar on the wings of prayer to the infinite. Those are the wings that we have. Those are the wings that we should use. But we must have humility. This means the total annihilation, the total subjugation of that which you call yourself. It denotes that one must be totally unselfish. Did you know that the words selfishness, was not in the English dictionary until about 300 years ago. And it's rather interesting to wonder whether or not, because man has become so self-centered, so engrossed with the things of the outer world, that everything he does, he expects to get paid for in one way or another. Either he wants a handout, or somebody can get it for him wholesale, or something. It makes no difference what. And I came across a little poem about this selfishness, which I want to share with you. The author is unknown. It says, I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. 'Twas very small, 3 guests and all. Just I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches while I drank all the tea. It was also I who ate the pie and passed the cake to me. Isn't that the way, if you really want to be honest with yourself, that it is, that everything around you involves upon yourself and your own pleasure? And what is true humility? As I said, it is a total subjugation of yourself. This doesn't mean that you have to be a worm or a doormat and let people walk over you, because they won't respect you if you do that. But it means that in your heart you must know that of yourself you are nothing, as the Christ said, that it is your Father who doeth the works. And when you can come to that state of consciousness, when God alone thinks through you, speaks through you, acts through you, and you have no responsibility, what a wonderful day that is. Do you know it is only then when you are truly free? So many people get themselves into situations, one or another. Sometimes at work, sometimes at play, sometimes in social gatherings, and sometimes in marriage. And they wonder, how in the world did I ever get myself into this? It is because they have thought only of themselves and the satisfaction of their own needs. They don't think of God in the other person, because marriage is a holy sacrament. And when you take your marriage vows before God, it means that indeed these vows are unbreakable. There's only one exception that is made, and that is if the other person commits adultery. People don't try hard enough today. They don't try to see good in one another. And this applies not only to man and wife, but to everybody all over the world, because this world is in rather a sorry state. But the world will not change until we as individuals change, because the world is made up of individuals. You cannot expect a good word, a world, if you yourself continue to think only of yourself selfishly. What you can get out of a job, what you can get from the other fellow, how much money can you get? Can you get somebody else's wife or sweetheart away from them? Can you leave your own and go someplace else? And you say you are spiritual people? No way. People aren't trying today. And the whole social structure is breaking down as a result of it. Little children are the products of broken marriages. And it is a sorry thing to see. And these children are part of our future society. And because of their insecurity, man as a whole, the race as a whole, will become insecure because of it. The mystery of life is to know the mystery of your own being, to realize who and what you are in God, to do good, to be good, to do the right thing in God. And you remember that God said that many times He rebukes and chastens those whom He loves the most. And when you put your feet on the spiritual path, for sure this is going to happen, because you've been on a nice little trip on this human ego journey, just satisfying everything that you wanted to do. And if you don't, you get frustrated and you take it out on anything and everybody. But this trip has to cease when you put your feet upon the spiritual path. You've got to get rid of impurity, because purity, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, is an absolute requisite for going to God. And you must go to God in balance. As I've explained many times before, sainthood is not total God realization or the realization of your oneness with Him. It is a narrow funnel. It sees good and evil very definitely. There is a line of demarcation. But the universally realized person, that one who's realized his oneness with God, realizes his oneness with all creation. And that encompasses sainthood. And when you can see that naughty or good, that everyone who comes before you is God's child, and while you may not like what they do, nor should you associate with the evil which they do, because then you become a part of it, nevertheless you give them the love of God. The love of God is the most important cure in the world. You know, without love there is no harmony. You cannot separate love and harmony. Because if you love God, and if you love God in every human being, then you are working in harmony with God's laws. God never punishes any of us. We bring this punishment upon ourselves through the misuse of the free will which He has given us, because we are made in His image and likeness. Image means form, and likeness means spirit. There's a story told about one of the greatest saints who ever lived in India by the name of Chaitanya. And it is said that the only thing he ever taught was love. That he would go around from village to village just chanting Radha Krishna. Now Radha represents the individual human soul or the female. And Krishna is the Christ in everyone. And that name means the Christ. And so he would chant Radha Krishna, or he would chant Govinda, which also is one of the names of Krishna, Radha. And he would just chant and chant and chant. One day, he went into a little village, and there was a washerman there washing his clothes. And he said, "Come, my friend, chant the name of my beloved Lord for me." And the washerman said, "I can't be doing this with you, you foolish man. I have my washing to do." He said, "Oh, please." He said, "Please me just this once." He said, "Bless me with hearing the sound of my Lord's name." So he said, "Chant with me, spirit and nature, spirit and nature." Because he said, "My Father is the infinite spirit, and he has projected himself into the womb of nature, and therefore came forth all creation." He said, "Chant with me, my friend. Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Govinda Radha." He said, "Chant with me." So the man thought, well, in order to get rid of me, he would do it. So he started chanting the name, and the first thing he knew, the power of and the love of God took over in him, and he was filled with the bliss of God, and he started chanting the name of God. He left his washing, everything, and started following Chaitanya. The wife came out. She had a broom in her hand. She had been working in the house very hard, and she said, "What is this, you crazy idiot of a husband? She said, what are you doing following this man and chanting and singing like this when you should be doing the washing and earning money like this?" And he said, "It's all right, mother." He said, "Just please me just this once. Put your broom down." Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. And so the woman thought, "Oh, he's absolutely mad, but I'll do it." So she put the broom down and she started chanting this, these blessed names. And the first thing you knew, she became filled with the same love, the same bliss of God. And she could think of nothing else. And so the three of them started down the street chanting the name of God at the top of their voices. And there were four gossips who came along, and they thought, "These wild people, what in the world are they doing?" And so Chaitanya said to him, "We are not mad. You are mad not to be chanting the name of God. Come on, just try it once. Let's say Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, spirit and nature, spirit and nature." And he said, "It is God the Father, God the Divine Mother." So the four gossips took it up, and the same thing happened to them. So this little tribe went along the street, and they were chanting and singing the name of God and filled with the bliss of God. And pretty soon there were hundreds of people gathered around to see what this strange thing was that was happening. What were these people all about? They were absolutely mad. They looked queer, all the rest of them. But the name of God was so powerful that finally they started humming it to themselves under their breath. And the first thing you knew, that they had hundreds and hundreds of people following them, chanting the name of God. Now, he never taught them a technique. He never taught them any wisdom in any way. He just taught them the love of God. You know, there's one exception to using the big stick. And that is when it is time for the disciple to come in contact with a guru. That one is the dispeller of darkness. The God-realized soul alone is able to teach the truth and to help to guide and direct you to that truth within yourself. They cannot reach out with a magic wand and touch you on the shoulder and say, "I give you God realization." They give you the ways and the means, the love, the encouragement by which you yourself may attain that realization of your oneness with God. Just imagine what it means to be rid of all of your troubles, all of your burdens, and to be filled with the peace, the joy, the wisdom, the bliss, the power of God, and to be beholden to no one but God. No matter what anyone thinks about what I say, think, or do, it doesn't bother me. I may be, because I'm an actress on the stage, affected just for the moment because of the play and because of what I have to say or do with the other individual. But inside, I am totally unaffected. I worry over them, I cry over them, and sometimes I become angry with them. And sometimes I use the stick of the love of the crucible, because they've left me no choice. But that is a rare occasion indeed. But there's one thing: when I use that stick, I always pour the salve of love on top of it to heal the wound. And each and every one of you who have been with me so intimately here know that this is true. I take you all in my arms. I've taken murderers, thieves, adulterers. It doesn't make any difference, in my arms, because to me, they are all children of God, naughty or good. And you cannot follow an evil path and hope to have good, because there is a definite and specific law. And that law is absolute. And you cannot expect to do the wrong thing, to break God's commandments, and expect good to come to you, because just as sure as anything, you will sow what you reap, and you yourself have done it to yourself through your own thoughts, your own words, your own actions. You must purify your heart. You must go before God in all humility, saying to Him, "Father, I myself am nothing. It is You who doeth the works through me. Father, reveal Thyself, reveal Thyself." And you know, if you will follow the Guru's instructions, if you will take that truth and put it into practice in your own life, the day will come when you will come to that moment when, as it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I shall come in and sup with him and he with me." And then the experiences start. And these experiences are weird and wonderful, and every one of them are described in this Christian Bible. But everybody goes through them at some time or other, and nobody escapes them, because this is the law. So just as surely as you break the laws, the commandments of God, you are writing your own destiny, your own doom upon your own forehead, and nobody and nothing is responsible for that but yourself. So don't blame the other fellow. Master many times said, and I have repeated it many times, change yourself and you will change thousands. He also said, if we will all work together in love and harmony, these teachings will spread throughout the world. And gradually they are spreading. We don't have a name. We don't have an organization. Because to us, only God's name is important. So every man in this universe, we consider a member of our religion, of our church. But Jesus said, ye are the temple of God. And it is within yourself that you find this great union with God, who is your true self. And when that day comes, when you have paid the price for what you have done, when, as you start to climb this final stairway, as you meet these tribes of good and of evil within yourself, the two thieves on your cross, one good and one evil, one trying to take you to God and to paradise, and the other one trying to keep you from it and opposing you in everything you do. You keep your mind on God. And if you will keep your mind on God and go through these tremendous experiences, they are fascinating. They are interesting. They are difficult. But they will take you to sublimity. They will take you to the radiance of your own soul. And you will at last have seen God face to face. It says in the Bible that no man has seen God at any time, and so it is. Because man in his human ego consciousness cannot possibly stand the great light of God. But man, when he gains his humility, when he comes to the point where he is even willing to say to God, "God, if it be Thy will, let me realize my oneness with Thee. But if it is not Thy will in this incarnation, then I accept Thy will." And when it comes to the place that even beyond that, where all you can say is the name of God, God, Christ, Guru, whatever name appeals to you, Om Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Krishna Radha, Krishna Govinda Radha, doesn't make any difference what it is, because all names are the names of God. Every single name in this universe came from God. It is a wonderful thing, because in India it is said that Krishna has 1,000 names, and when they have children, they name their children after one of Krishna's names, so that every time they call the child, they are calling upon the name of the Lord. How beautiful, how wonderful. And if each little child is taught, even while in the mother's womb, about the wonder and the glory of God through Christ, by whatever name you want to call this universal consciousness, this one body that was created by the Lord. Whatever name you want to call him, and teach your child that God is love, and that God is within him, that this star of the east is right in the center of his own forehead. And if he looks very hard, that one day he will see that that is the gate of heaven, that it has a little hinge on it, five in fact, and they will open up, and he will be able to go in, and he will be able to talk with his heavenly Father who loves him more than anything in all the world. And his Father will spread a great banquet, a great feast before him. And that banquet is the feast of bliss, of love, of power, of wisdom, of all of the good things. And then, when he comes to that state, then all of the other things are added unto him. You know, many people think, I will get God realization and then I will have everything else in the world, because it is said just exactly that, that first, seek first God and his kingdom, and then all of these things shall be added unto you. Many people are just eager to go into various planes of consciousness. Some want to become adept in spiritualism, to commune with the dead. Others in clairvoyance, others in occultism, others in white magic, others in black magic, others in Buddhism. And you can become a master in any one of these things if you don't mind what you have to go through to get it. But the Christ way is the greatest. Because he said to seek him first, and then all of the other things that would be added unto you. Because when you are looking for manifestations, for power on these other levels of consciousness, each one of them, and the good sense which will give you God realization, but not the total God realization. It will be God realization in that plane alone. You are really asking for trouble. Because many people have gone these paths. They have become insane. They have died. They have met powers that they didn't even dream of. Now, how can this be, we are told, when it is said that God is omnipotent, that his is the only power there is? That is true. God's power is the only power there is. All of this thing of evil, of Satan, of the devil, don't really exist except in man's consciousness, because this idea has been planted there. And it is pure delusion. But don't forget that your mind is absolutely powerful. It is absolute monarch over everything that you put into your subconscious mind. And that subconscious mind is absolutely blank, and it has but one power. And that is to put into action that which you instill in it. So every thought, every word, every deed that you place in your subconscious mind, it has no choice, because it is the law of its existence to put that into action. And for every action, you have an opposite and an equal reaction. So you build your own life. You build your own trials and tribulations through everything that you do. So there is no evil except man makes it so. And he makes that so through his own free choice. And God doesn't punish him, because God is perfect. But he punishes himself. Nobody else is responsible. Every moment of our lives, we have that choice. And it is up to us what we do with it. Another thing that we have to learn is service to God. A service to God in man. You see, everything starts in the infinite. And it comes down. It is a supplemental reaching down to man's reaching up for the divine. And this goes on all the time. But man doesn't reach up while he's in his animalistic state. He doesn't reach up until he gets into trouble. He is in a certain grade of school. And until he learns the lessons through the experiences which he himself chooses to go through, then he isn't going to climb into the next grade. He isn't going to take the test and pass the examination. So when you have come to the state where you are ready to go beyond all orthodox religion, where you are ready to place your total self in the hands of your Father, then you will have arrived at the first step of the ladder of God realization. But you must do this through service. If you can serve selflessly without thinking of asking for anything in return, without even expecting anything in return, this is service with the love of God. As I've told many of you, I have never once advertised in my life. I have never once charged one dime for anything that I have ever done for God. I am completely on his charity. It is through the love of God in those that I serve that I exist. Every one of you who are here are here because somebody else was inspired by God to reach out and to try to give you a bit of truth, to try to help you to something better than what you are. Why? Not because they're trying to force you or they shouldn't be. I don't believe in ringing doorbells. I don't believe in just going out and using a great sales pitch to bring somebody in when they're not ready for it. Because each one must be ready for this great experience. And each one must have his inalienable privilege and right to choose to worship God as he wishes. So this is a universal church. And we work on the premise, as Jesus the Christ said, ye are the temple of God. So this is my temple, in which dwells the living God, as he does in every one of your body temples. And wherever we go, we take our temple, our church with us, and we may worship him. What a beautiful, what a wonderful thought. We have been taught about all these other things since the time that we were first able to walk. The baby, you see, doesn't take no for an answer. Man endures suffering, and he shouldn't do that. A baby, when he is uncomfortable, when perhaps he's wet his diapers, he cries. If a safety pin is sticking him, he yells until somebody comes and takes care of it for him and harmony reigns again. If he's hungry, he lets the whole world know it. Now who takes care of him? His mother and his father. And if the human mother and father take care of us in such a wonderful way, how much more greatly does God, our heavenly Father, and the divine mother take care of us if we only knew that? If we only realized that we could change our whole lives, and the mystery of life is within ourselves, and we can find this total universe, which is an exact replica of the macrocosmic universe, the total universe outside. Everything that is out there, we have inside of ourselves if we but knew it. And when you start to meditate, when God's love pours upon you and your love for him increases, until one day your heart opens up and you reach out and you cry for him and you say, here am I, Lord, take me, do with me what you will. I will even die for you. Does that mean that you're going to die a physical death as we think of it in the ordinary sense? No. Perhaps it has a physical repercussion that appears like death at the moment. But though he were dead, still he lives. It is the death of the human ego that must be gone through. It must be completely crucified. It must be completely transformed into the God, into the divine. Jesus was born the Son of Man. And that Son of Man is the Savior. In fact, God in man is the Savior of himself, don't you see? Who can save you but yourself? Who can use your mind, your will, your thoughts but you? If you permit somebody else to influence you, that is your responsibility. You should not listen to others on the outside, but go within and listen only to God's infinite direction. In the beginning it comes, and it is called John the Baptist, that one who comes and baptizes before the coming of the Christ. And he baptizes you with the spirit of intuition. And it comes like a hunch in the beginning. And then gradually, as you deal with it and you listen to its voice and direction, you will get certain feelings inside of yourself. And you will know, because you have tried it before and it has worked out in accordance with the way you felt directed, that this is the truth that you are getting. And the more you listen to this voice of intuition, this still small voice, the greater will be your inner direction until that moment comes when you are ready for the great experience. And it is a great journey, a great experience. The most wonderful adventure in the world is that adventure which takes you into the realm of knowing who and what you are in God. Who am I? Who am I? And you find that you and your Father are one. It is the most fascinating, the most wonderful, the most thrilling experience in the world. And regardless of what you have to go through, you see, the time comes when you say to God, to yourself, Lord, how could you have asked so little of me when you have given me so much? Because his wisdom, his power, his grace, his abundance, his everything flows through you when you have given yourself totally to him, because in truth there is nothing but he anywhere. No matter where I look, no matter what I hear, no matter anything, it is God, it is God. I have to stay down in this dual consciousness to deal with those whom he sent. But I play whatever part he assigns to me. And yet I am able to function on every plane of consciousness to function in complete balance, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of the 24 hours of the day. But people looking at such a one, having known them before, see that they still have the same form, they still have the same personality, they still have the same habit patterns, but that was of the old creature. But inside, they have a new body in Christ, and that light shines forth so greatly that those who have the eyes to see and ears to hear know beyond all doubt that God alone is in that form. But what a conquest, what a victory for man when he comes to that state when he is master of himself and all that he surveys. He doesn't have to accept this idea of evil or Satan or hellfire or damnation. He doesn't have to accept it. He has been brainwashed. He's had his brain so programmed down through the ages that it has become a living reality to him. And little children are taught about the devil and what will happen to them if they don't obey. And they have nightmares. And they are frightened. And some of them bear this mark for the rest of their lives. How terrible! When it should be only the love of God, the beauty of God, the wonder of God that is taught to every human being that opens his eyes upon this earth. I hope that we can build a new order, which is not yet an order. An order without a name, without an organization that will spread all over the earth. And those blessed ones who have undertaken to lead groups, and we are starting to have more and more all the time, are blessed indeed. And those who are with them should do everything they can to help them, to spread the word, to bring them to them, to have everybody get acquainted with everybody else, and all become brothers and sisters in God. We have a tremendous group here. Everybody is willing to serve everybody else. They meet in small groups, even when they don't come to church. It's just not a once-a-week thing with them. But they get together and they chant the name of God and they give the love of God one to another. And they pray for those who need healing. I know because I have been the recipient of it many times, and but for the grace of God and their prayers, I wouldn't be here this day, and I know it better than anyone else. I've had a rough year and a half. But that's all right, because every time there is to be a new opening, a new spreading of the word, somehow God in the Guru pays a price through the form which he inhabits. And that is in order to make an empty space in the lives, in the hearts of those that are to come, so that they may relieve them of the little selfish self and put God and truth in the place. But remember that the Guru can lead you just to the threshold, that you have to make the final effort. You have to do the work, because it is your pearl of God realization which you are after, and it is a pearl of great price, the supreme price, and that price is the total subjugation, the total doing away of yourself. So love God. Be humble before him. Be humble before him and all of your fellow men. Serve them with everything you have. And remember that virtue is one of the greatest things, and purity. Virginity is not something that you're born with, perhaps in the physical sense. But the minute you start thinking consciously in the world and becoming conscious of the various things and ideas and pictures are presented to you, you start making decisions. You see good and you see evil. And you make your own choice even from the beginning, although sometimes it's fostered in you. And this, of course, all has to be dealt with and it has to be overcome. But this idea of virginity gradually takes place in man's consciousness, because a man or a woman may never have known another man or a woman. Yet the desire to know, the desire for possessions, the desire for anything in this world may be so great that there certainly isn't any state of purity or virginity there. So virginity is a state to be attained. And no matter how great the sinner, if he's a murderer, a thief, an adulterer, whatever he is, he can change because God is within him. You remember that Jesus forgave the woman who was taken in adultery. And he said, let he who hath not sinned cast the first stone, and not one of them could cast a stone. So we have to look to ourselves first before we look at that which is in our brother. We have to sweep out our own house. We have to clean off our own doorstep. We have to purify ourselves. We have to give love. We have to give service. We have to give help. And we have to be virtuous. We have to obey God's commandments. Because he said, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So you can come and listen to someone give a spiritual talk from now until eternity. But unless you take that truth, unless you really take your life in your hands and start to change yourself, not one thing is going to happen. And you cannot blame the teacher. You can only blame your own lack of endeavor. The truth, the techniques which are given to you are very simple. Because going to God is simple. It is we who make it difficult. All we need to do is to hang on to Him, to love Him, to chant His name, to give love and service to all, and believe me, we will get there. So it is our fault when it doesn't work that way, and no one else's. Because it is my responsibility to teach you the truth, to guide you, to direct you, all of those whom He sends to me. And you are free to come and go anytime you wish. There is no coercion at all. But nevertheless, you have an equal responsibility as a disciple of God to take the techniques, to take the truth, and apply them to your own lives, to have complete faith in your Father's care for you, to keep your money, your consciousness on money, to keep your consciousness on the things that will rust and die away is absolutely erroneous. Because, again, you have planted that seed in your consciousness. And if you plant the seed of want, if you plant the seed of failure, if you plant the seed of evil, that's exactly what's going to come forth into your life, and you have no choice. None whatsoever. It will return to you in kind. But if you know that you are your Father's child, that He will take care of you, that every good thing will be given to you, then it shall come to pass. God showers His abundance on me so greatly that I can't begin to tell you. And the more I give, the more He gives. And the more I give, the more the work grows. And this is all I live for, because nothing is mine. Everything belongs to my Father. I have the blessed privilege of using what He has given me. It is said that God has taken the form of man in order that He may take man to Himself. My greatest prayer, my greatest wish for you is that each and every one of you may be lifted up into the arms of the Divine, that you may feel the bliss of His infinite presence, that you may hear His footsteps everywhere, that everywhere you look, you will see Him, and that you will feel nothing but the love of God for everyone who meets and beyond.